If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
Welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad, everybody. This week we got a real great guest, very funny Chicago comedian, John Torres. John, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fun.
Absolutely. We should mention John also has a podcast called Brick a Bracket, and it's super original, very fun, too.
Which is rare for the podcasting world.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like 90% of podcasts are just trying to rip off the five that you can actually make money doing.
Yeah.
We did about 100 practice episodes until we figured out, we're like, okay, this is the game, and now we'll ask people to do it.
That's a good idea, though. A lot of people, maybe me and Kenyon, just kind of start by winging it. And
don't want to name any names. Some people come up with a funny name for a premise that they can't commit on. Yeah. Try to riff for about 9 to 10 episodes, realize that they aren't the most interesting people alive. They don't have finite amounts of dad stories for 30 minutes every week. You got to get literally everyone you know to come on the pod and just riff about.
It's been good, though. We're starting to heat up.
We're heating it up. We got hot guests coming up. We got things are going in the right direction.
But John, did you do any shows, comedy shows during the Great War?
Yeah, I did. I did a whopping 3 of them.
Oh, yeah. That's about how many I did. Yeah.
What was like the wackiest one, like the one in the craziest environment, do you think?
I think just because from not being around people or being indoors, it would have to be the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. I've done it.
You did the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. What the fuck was
during
that?
During the pandemic. Dude, it was actually really awesome.
I bet it was a good show. But I was like, it'd be a little weird to be like, this is a festival of shows. And you're like, I haven't been to a restaurant in 6 months. Like, what?
Also, you want to talk about the biggest self-doubt in your mind. You're like, well, I haven't done comedy for 6 months. What do I got this weekend? Oh, a 20-minute feature set? Okay.
Yeah, this will be real. God, I would literally not know how to handle myself. At least I was just like, let me get back to doing like 8-10 minutes. Nobody was like, you want to headline something? Like, nobody had that much faith in no comedy for a year, Kenyon.
No, the headliner did like 45 and he crushed it. And it was just nuts, man. I'm glad I only had to do like 20, but it was cool because there weren't a ton of people. It was like a quarter capacity, but I think people were so starved for entertainment. Like
absolutely.
Energy in the room, it felt like a sold out room. And
for
the people that run the Laughing Tap and the Milwaukee Comedy Festival do just such a good job. So
I've heard nothing but awesome things about that club.
Yeah. I was there a couple weeks ago and there's only 30 people, I think was the max, but it felt like a sold out. It felt great. I mean, it's a great club and they, you know, do a good job.
Yeah, fuck us. Yes. I think they're going to give Comedy on State a run for their money. You know, the Midwest comedy clubs really bring it because it's a lot of blue collar people looking for entertainment.
For sure. No, I mean, I think so too, man. It's a really great club. And I have felt that like there's definitely, I don't think any club I've performed in, cause I don't perform, I haven't done any shows in like Texas or some shit. They've all been some sort of capacity. Mm-hmm. But like even, you know, Good Nights back in North Carolina, like maybe it's like, I want to say maybe it's half, but like it doesn't, people are ready to go, man. People are bored.
Here's the thing, though,
any sort of happiness.
I see a lot of sold out, but the rooms are at half capacity. I feel like we should chill on that.
We should chill on the sold out show. You're like, dude, only 5 people are legally allowed to be in a group. So.
Yeah. You're not allowed to just say no more tickets. You don't get to say sold out. That's a reserved.
Your group of friends showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to disagree. I need the self-esteem boost. Like, look at me in a sold-out show this weekend. Look at me go.
It does feel good. You're like, the show's sold out. You're like, it isn't hard. They comped one table. They comped one table. Like 4 people showed up. So, yeah, it's sold out.
Some dude brought his whole improv team. I can't believe they're all here.
Dude brings an improv team. That's the 7 o'clock. That's done.
You know what's crazy?
A whole other show, an improv team shows
is
up.
Being an audience member for an improv troupe is like, that's okay. But having an improv troupe as an audience, I've always found was incredible because they can't believe stand up because it's funny and they like lose their mind.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I feel like I performed for improvers before and they're like, but he didn't pretend to be a couch. And they're just like kind of judgmental assholes.
I did
like. I don't think that. I don't think that preferred statement was really all that good, sir.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go on stage and just kind of bore people to death for a half hour. You know,
I did the weirdest show. It's definitely the weirdest show I've ever done, and it was before quarantine. And there was an improv troupe closing the show. It was a show for a bunch of nudists, and you had to be naked when you performed.
Wow! But
one of the funniest things was watching an improv team warm up naked and just watching dudes try to do push-ups and their dicks just hitting the floor. It's like,
oh, that is hilarious. So it was like a naked improv show.
Yeah, it was for a nudist group. It was pretty great.
Was everyone in the audience naked?
Yeah, they brought their own towels.
Oh, okay. So everyone's naked. Well, that's all right then.
Still be a little weird. I'd be weird with it.
Oh, of course. Well, everyone's weird with it. I think
Do you, man. But I think I'd have trouble if someone's like, yeah, just everyone in the audience is naked. You're naked. Like, it just feels weird to go up there and just like do the usual like, hey, so I was at Target the other day. Like, you know what I mean? Like my dick's out. Like, this is weird.
No, it's definitely, you got to talk about it.
You got to have
a good time, John. How much time did you have to do naked?
10 minutes.
And did you do any dick jokes?
I think the only thing I opened up with, because I was super hungover, I was be like, I'm pretty sure you guys could see my dick is also hungover.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was so tired. Like, I was just so sweaty too from that like hangover sweat. And I'm just
I can smell all
the booze on me.
It's just a naked hungover man. You hand him a microphone.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine a person that needs to be heard from less than a naked hungover man? Like, just take him back and like shoot him. I mean, truly. Well,
this is how selfish I am, because it's like before the show and like we're all hanging out naked. I'm like, how does smoke breaks work here? Like,
you're like, well, I got to throw on some. I don't want to get arrested outside. Yeah.
Dad didn't bring his robe. So I think, I think I'm going to burn a couple in the car.
And what a weird thing to see. Just a guy in a bathrobe outside of a building smoking a cigarette. Well, like a cold Chicago night.
Yeah. Like that guy's a retired union worker right there. He's seen shit.
So you grew up in Chicago, right, John?
Yeah, Southside, 83rd and Central.
Okay. Oh, damn. So were you like a street rat kind of kid? You know, were you like
definitely
scraping knuckles?
Yeah, like skating around, getting into shit with people. It was a good time, man. We weren't absolute shitheads because I don't know, like everybody in the neighborhood that I grew up in, we all knew each other. So it was kind of hard to get away with stuff, but it was still a good time.
Yeah. I envy that so much. The neighborhood feel where everyone knows each other. Right.
You're all tight. Yeah. My neighborhood was very much like, you say hi to someone, they're like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. They're like, I have a gun. Right.
Yeah. It was like, you go out to get the mail and then just don't look at me. Yes. Like that was kind of the neighborhood vibe.
But it's also weird because no one ever leaves. Like they'll buy houses next to their parents' house, and the only options are you become a union worker, a cop, or a firefighter, and that's it.
Right. Huh. I guess some people also get comfortable, man. Yeah. People are just like, well, this is like the people I know live here. Where am I going to go? Yeah. Like, there's some people like really like. I mean, there's some people that don't even want to move cities. They're like,
oh, I know.
Oh, like that would be crazy to live like 60 minutes away from everybody. Insane. You know?
Yeah. Definitely a lot of Wisconsin Dells vacations in my friend group.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, we can't get too far for you. Got to keep like a foot on home base, you know?
Yeah. A lot of dads don't trust airplanes or want to pay for them.
The trusting of airplanes. Yeah, dude. I have a friend in North Carolina. He's like one of the funniest comedians I know. And it's so frustrating because he's just like, nah, man, Greensboro, North Carolina is the city. It's like, no, it's not. No,
it's not. It's not even the top state. Not even the top 10 cities in a state that is not the state.
Dude, growing up, one of my friend's dads traveled for work. He was a salesman. He was older than me. So his dad was definitely an older guy, like had kids kind of late. And I remember he quit his job in sales because he couldn't smoke on airplanes anymore. So he was just like, I'm just going to drive and smoke everywhere that I want to.
You got to admire the balls, though.
Yeah.
I'll turn down an income.
Yeah. 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 To smoke my cigarettes.
Oh, man. Who's the quitter his now? Brain would have exploded.
You mentioned pre-pod that you had an interesting dad yourself, correct?
Yeah. Very absent one. he was not around very much. Dad liked the sauce, and my dad's a crazy Cuban immigrant. He was born in Cuba. They came over here when he was like two.
Okay.
And they lived in New Jersey, which I guess is a hub for a lot of Cuban people.
Yeah, I think really? Behind Miami, it's pretty big.
Yeah, it's number two because they all look like mobsters. They love they love the shitty haircuts and the open t-shirt or the open dress shirts. They love them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
with the with the thin chain and the chest hair. I mean,
it's not a bad look. I said with the man with the thin chain going on. That's the worst look in the world. I say tugging on my thin chain, my fade. I'm like, okay. I'm like putting a fucking jacket on.
Yeah, but I mostly grew up with a single mom. My mom took care of me. My parents split when I was I think about two or three.
Oh wow, okay.
And then I grew up living in my mom's childhood home with my grandparents because she moved back home. Mm-hmm. And
that's
then,
that's sitcom set right there.
Oh,
right.
Dude, total got, fucking sitcom.
You got three generations.
Yeah. I remember on Christmas, we watched Home Alone and we had one stair in my house. I put all my micro machines in that motherfucker. Almost killed my grandpa. Grandpa took a tumble that morning. Like his morning, my grandpa didn't drink coffee, so his morning Pepsi went everywhere.
Oh, shit. And
yeah, that's the type, that very classy family. Like, if you go
Like, grab a beer at that point, if we're just going for carbonated beverage.
Yeah, well, you got to have the morning PPM. You got your morning Pepsi, and then you got your morning Pall Mall. That's the morning PPM.
Oh, my God.
Sabatini Torres household.
I also, Jesus Christ. I imagine you just in your bed and you hear a loud thud and you're like, I got the robber. Got and then you run downstairs and you're like, oh shit, grandpa's dead.
Yes. It also didn't work because I slept like a rock. Like I would just sleep through things. Like I slept through like someone trying to break into our house before when I was a kid. I was like, what happened last night? Why are the police here?
I once slept through my dad dropping me, which.
Wait, what?
Yeah, my dad once, so I like fell asleep in their bed watching TV or something.
No, that's and called he was getting knocked out.
Yeah. I slept through my dad punching me. It's like, what?
And he
did a great job then. He fucking.
So my dad's holding me and he's going down these, like, they had like four or five stairs down in their bedroom to go down to the hallway.
Yeah.
And he just kind of like takes a step wrong and just drops me down the stairs. And I was still sleeping on the floor. And then he just put me in bed.
What a terrifying moment as a father, because when the kid doesn't wake up, you're like, well, he's dead.
Yeah. Or when he wakes up and goes like, I want to be an artist. You're like, oh, now I really fucked up.
I dropped him on the left side. He's all left brain now. God damn it.
Oh, shit. Okay, so you did mention before that you had a funny story kind of dealing with the separation, right?
Oh yeah. So my dad's a bit of a shyster. My dad is on his third or fourth marriage now, I think.
Absolutely. I gotta respect that.
Yeah.
Fucking grind.
Yeah.
They're like, marriages are like beads at New Orleans. You know,
yeah, you just keep going.
Keep collecting them.
It's always the people that should be married the least who have the most. Like, it's just the people that shouldn't breed, you shouldn't be with. They have like four. And I'm like, just fuck people and move on. You don't need to always have like a ceremony or sign a document just because you meet someone new.
Yeah. At this point, just sign a bar napkin because that's where you guys
meet. Yeah. Yes.
my parents are splitting, right? They got a house in the burbs. My mom moves back in with my parents. And I will preface this story. My grandpa, very hard-nosed, old-school Italian guy, grew up on the south side, grew up in Marquette Park. He was in a street gang called the Marquette Marauders. They had matching jackets because it was the 50s, and you're a badass.
That's what Scary was back then. Yeah. Scary was a matching jacket.
He grew up like during the Great Depression and shit too. So he like started smoking when he was like, I don't know, eight or some
that's
shit.
That's how
like,
stressful that shit
that's
was.
How you're like, there's no food in here. I gotta go find
no food. You're just smoking. You're like, fuck it. This is an appetite suppressant. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And so he's definitely a tougher dude. And he was actually a Freemason. So he was into some wild shit. And he knew this guy.
Now, John, so- I don't mean to cut. Can you go into that a little bit? Because I know a little bit of what
you mean.
That
Freemason,
is.
Like he's in the group, or like he knows, like Mason, like he's a stone.
No, like he was a free, like he was in the group, the Freemasons. Like I have his ring still. It was left to me when he died.
Oh, wow. Oh, that unlocks something in the Capitol. If you put it in the right place, it'll start turning shit.
I almost fucked up. I wore that to a wedding once, not knowing that you're not supposed to wear that shit if you're not a part of the members. And like this old guy, like pulled me aside and asked me a bunch of like weird incognito questions, and I couldn't answer him. He was like, "Is that your grandpa's ring?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm gonna let you off with a warning, but don't wear that shit ever again if you're not a Mason." I was
like, "Oh, okay."
Otherwise, this is like the mob.
Yeah, your dick and balls are mine, buddy. Okay, if I see that ring one more time,
such a mysterious thing. Because I can't tell if it is just old men playing important, or if it's like yeah. You guys are like the Illuminati. Like it's such a weird. Like it is. It is it like guys playing pretend mob, or they put on
it's
robes?
Classified and like, this is as a. It's actually classified as a religious group, which is weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, I think. I think that's just a way around paying taxes.
Yeah. Well, that's smart. Yeah, we should be a fucking religious group.
God bless America. Yeah, comedians should be their own
religion. I mean, it's a death cult. That's what it is. It's a satanic death cult. If I had to, it's Charles Manson's wet dream is every group of open micers, you know?
Yeah. It's like, what comes with this cult? Oh, bad decisions, alcoholism, and you can't hold a relationship. Oh, yeah, sounds like a cult to me.
Right.
Yeah, very cult-like. Yeah. That's what improv troupes are a lot. Like dude,
improv
like
cult for sure.
Improv's yeah. Improv's like the most stand like no, you just got to give me all of your money and then you can be friends with everybody and get all your friends to come in and give this place all your money. I'm like, you're literally, I mean, it's pathetic. It's like just go hang out with a prostitute. You're just paying for friends. I mean, that's what you're doing.
Yeah,
you have a monthly bill that says these people pretend that you're funny. Like it's
improv is just a frat without the spanking. That's all.
Or getting laid.
Yeah, or
if there is any fucking an improv troupe, it's incestuous.
With each other. Exactly. With each other for sure. So, oh yeah, back to the story. So, like, yeah, he was. I don't know if he like knew people from the Freemasons and all this other stuff, or like, got help from them. But my mom came to talk to her dad, and she's like, you know, Rich is being an asshole and all this and that. Well, it turns out my dad was trying to like steal her identity, social security number, all this crazy shit, right? Ooh, and he eventually did. Like he fucked up her credit. I don't know if I should even be talking about this, but fuck it. That's a podcast before. Let's get in trouble later.
Yeah.
My grandpa, he was part of the forklift drivers union and the paper mill union on the south side when those were still in business in like the late 80s early 90s, and he just retired. There were these two huge black dudes. They were the Roundtree brothers, Larry and Rick.
Oh my god,
there's a picture of me with Larry Roundtree. He's the guy that actually saved my grandpa's life once, because those giant paper presses that stamp the paper, they're like, I don't know, like 700-800 pounds. And my grandpa's hand got trapped underneath it and it crushed it. So he had to have pins in his hand. And he goes, well, there goes my smoking hand. So whenever he would go outside for cigs in the winter, his hand would be like twitching a little bit. So Larry went over there and pulled
that's how
that
much
off
he loved smoking, dude. Yeah, he had a smoking hand. He dedicated a whole hand.
Yeah, just because he had the pocket tee. So you grab your pack in the left breast pocket and you grab that other one. But Larry went over there and hulked that thing off of him and pulled him out. Like,
with oh my
one
God,
that's some wild shit. Larry's a big dude. And there's a picture of me, I think, with Larry as a kid. And I look like a premature dwarf baby like, in Larry's hands. Like, I just look like the tiniest baby in the world because Larry's such a big dude. Like, he could stand next to a guy in the NFL and be like, oh, that guy's on the football team as well. No, he's not. He's not the linebacker for the Bears. That's just a guy that works in the paper mill. So my grandpa called in a favor and it was to Larry and his brother, and is they just go over there and they get out of the car and they just stand there with their arms crossed across the street. And they're like, they decide to go over there and they're pounding on the door. And my dad's calling my mom all frantic, be like, Janice, who are these two huge black dudes that are coming to the house right now? And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about, Rich.
Yeah.
So he's freaking the fuck out.
Who wants whose identity now, motherfucker? Yeah.
It's like, well, it comes with these two large baggage like handlers.
Yeah.
Of my shit. And after that, there was no more problems from Pops.
Oh, right. Yeah, after you get threatened with a little physical violence, you're like, okay.
And I know that I'm not the favorite in the family because I got a stepbrother and my dad kidnapped him and not me.
So, wait, what? You can't just bring that up like, hey, kidnapped him and not me. You know how that goes. No, yeah, you're going to have, kidnapped?
Yeah, they were doing like shared custody or something like that. And my dad was just like, get in the car. And they just drove. He just drove away with my brother. So he like
that is painful for, though him, that he was just like in the car week. And he's like, "Where's the other one?" You're like, "You know, if I had to pick one, you know,
where's John?
If I'm getting a high speed chase with one kid, it's gonna be you. I mean, you're good at soccer, you know.
Basically, yeah. It's like, wait, you mean the one that never stops talking? And no, I'm gonna take the quiet one. Yeah,
yeah. Get in the car. No, he's cool.
We got a long car ride to Canada. So
right, so.
You remember how to pack dad's smokes? Good boy.
You can never really deny that either. Like, that's an open. It's like, he's definitely the favorite. You're like, yeah, I was willing to go to jail for that kid.
Yeah.
I was fine not seeing. I was fine with you just kind of fading away.
Yeah.
I think I'm the favorite because my parents, I'm either the favorite or my parents just talk shit about the other sibling. Like, to the, you know what I'm saying? Like, when they're with my sister, all they do is talk shit about me. And then they're with me. All they talk about is shit about my sister. So I think it's like our only talking point at this point. They're like, oh, what are you doing? Comedy? Anyway, Emma did this fucked up thing the other day.
it's the only thing
we have in common.
She's hit an age where like, I know when I get a call from her, I'm like, well, this isn't going to be good. She just got a new bad thing to brag about. She's like, can you believe what these motherfuckers did this week?
And yeah.
Like, oh boy.
All right, John. Well, do you want to plug anything before we head on out?
Oh shit. If you guys could go check out my podcast at it's Brick a Bracket. It's like a game show where we take a bunch of different ideas and we mash them all into one. So we do no pop culture, no food, no nothing, and we do a bracket style competition for what the best thing is. So we'll do like worst hairstyles, like worst ways money. Stuff like that. So we're always looking for new ideas. So go check that out.
It's fucking great, man.
It's super fun to listen to and like never dull. And I love it. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
So John, thank you so much for being on, man. It was such a blast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it, and keep listening. Thank you so much.